Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
This is...
Well, here we are.
Felger.
What?
And Mass.
The whole team sucks.
Felger and Mass.
Maybe your part in the back is a little bit loose.
98.5. The Sports Hub.
I know what I'm rooting for. I can't tell you what the Celts are going to do, but I'm rooting for them to trade Terry Rozier, sell high, get someone to overpay, and get something better back in return. I'm okay with them packaging all their future first-round picks and moving up in this draft. Like, I'm rooting for that, for sure. Also, just as it relates to the NBA, the movement, I want movement that impacts the Celtics. Like, to me, there's some rumors that have been out there that would just totally, to me, be a wet fart, you know, a deflated balloon if, for example, Kawhi Leonard went to Phoenix for the first overall pick. Like, that does nothing for us. Does nothing for us in terms of interest with the Celtics or challenging the Celtics, or I guess it helps the Celtics, but just not. I want Kawhi Leonard to go somewhere where it enters the mix in the conversation of the Celtics and the championship. Okay? So, like, there was a rumor overnight that the Cavaliers now, have offered the 8th overall pick and Kevin Love to San Antonio for Kawhi Leonard. Kawhi to Cleveland, where LeBron stays, and now it's you and Cleveland in the East Finals, and they got Kawhi. Like, okay, interesting. That would be pretty sexy. I'm into it. And not that it's going to happen, but, you know, like, that's a move that's okay. I think even Kawhi going to the Lakers with that super team is, you meet in the NBA Finals and it's LeBron and Kawhi. That's a fun Finals.
Sure,
it's tremendous. I think that has much more juice to me than Golden State, but it all would have juice. It's the Finals. I'm not going to go too far with that, but I just. Kawhi going to the Lakers would matter. Kawhi going to Phoenix, please. There was a rumor overnight that Paul George in talks to stay with OKC. That would bore the crap out of me, too.
Yep.
I want George to go with LeBron somewhere and be a factor. Or George to go somewhere where he either helps or hurts the Celtics. Or, you know, just, I don't need him going someplace that's a non-factor. Yes, Jimmy Stewart.
So the Paul George thing was leaked by Russell Westbrook's agent, that he is staying in OKC. That is not the case.
To what end? Why would, like, how does that help Russell Westbrook? Just to put pressure on George to stay?
Yes.
That's really not, I don't know how that does that, but either way, I mean,
so
I
there's
trust
still
you.
This, there's still this vibe that it's going to be LeBron James and Paul George going to the Lakers.
Well, even if George is torn, doesn't it at least help Westbrook's reputation? Like, Westbrook's going to be the one guy that chases away Kevin Durant and Paul George?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
nobody
yeah.
wants to play with this guy.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, to me, that's how I take it. Like, I look at Westbrook, because honestly, I don't love Westbrook. I respect how hard he plays, but he plays kind of dumb. And so I just question whether he's a winning player.
Okay, so, and then there's Dwight Howard, who gets traded and then bought out today and is sitting there on the street, and there's some linkage there, or Chris Mannix sort of hinted that, you know, watch out, because Danny Ainge has been in on Dwight Howard in the past, and now the price has gone way down. And you need rim protection and rebounding, etc. And there's Dwight Howard. And Maz is vehemently no, which has sort of turned some of us here to say, well, let's go get him.
Yeah, just for spite.
Just to see.
I hate the player, and he's too much of a diva, but if Maz is going to be this angry, oh, why not?
Don't you want to see Maz's head explode?
Yeah.
No, that's great. Let's get Carmelo Anthony, too, while we're at it. What other bum in the league can we get who doesn't know how
they
to win?
They wanted him at one point, they being the Celtics.
Oh, God, please. I told you the same thing about him. Losing player. Don't get me losers.
I'm rooting for the Brady big contract, the Garoppolo injury, and Dwight Howard in a Celtic uniform.
Great. Oh, that'd be great. Murray, if that happens, I'm not coming into work.
Brandon in Roxbury, you got something for Maz?
Hey, how you doing, Maz? I don't think you know anything about basketball, really. But having
I don't think
Dwight
you
Howard
do either.
Team, he will be great addition to the team. We need rim protection and rebounding. And I think you do some type of package deal where you get rid of Horford He doesn't necessarily need to run the offense, and you try to get somebody else there with Dwight. A great winning environment, I think Dwight will definitely prevail with the Celtics. I just
want to what better winning environment than when he was traded to the Lakers with Kobe Bryant in his prime?
So Dwight Howard,
and he tanked for Kobe Bryant.
You wouldn't need to move on from Horford. Dwight Howard would fill the Greg Monroe role. He'd just play more and be better at it.
No, he wants to start. He wants to get his empty points, his empty rebounds, and kick away games when he doesn't feel like playing.
Or he'd fill the Aaron Baines role.
Right, like, exactly.
Same idea. Yeah. No. Absolutely. In my mind, it would never be in place of Horford. I'm a no just adding him for nothing. Like, you want to get rid of Horford now, too?
You know, so what's the point of having the coach? What's the point of having the culture? What's the point of having the whole program if you can't assimilate questionable guys into it? The Patriots are the best example of being able to do that.
Okay, fair question by you.
Thank you.
In fact, I would go so far as to say excellent
question
by you.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
And I would tell you that some people are incurable, and Dwight Howard is one of them. Cannot be cured. What he has cannot be solved. It's a problem.
I'll tell you what, I've seen it. Randy Moss is incurable. And the Pats didn't even really cure him. Don't kid yourself. He just went off 1 year. He was still the same a-hole he's always been. But it did sort of work. So you don't give any credence to being able to happen here?
Nope. I don't. So all of a sudden, tell me the other part of it is, this guy might behave himself for 2 months, 3 months, whatever. At the end of the day, Rasheed Wallace was still an a-hole, wasn't he? Like, you know, and ultimately it was a short-lived thing and they didn't win with him. And Wallace is a way better player than this guy. No way.
Derek in Foxborough, hi.
I don't want them trading up. I actually think they can find a really good player at 27. They got Semi Ojeleye last year at the end of the draft.
Okay,
I'm going to take the Grayson Allen kid out of Duke.
So look, as a talk show host, I'll take Grayson Allen. You know, like, I get it. He's a little bit of a lightning rod, and he'll trip somebody or spit on someone or do something like that. And so there'll be something to talk about. But what? Can you explain to me the psychology of a fan? A fan who says, I'd like them just to sit where they are and get another Semi Ojeleye. Like, I mean, think of that. Versus packaging picks and moving up and getting a guy who could be a real factor. You know, someone who they, you know, they really feels like a franchise kind of guy in Doncic. Or at least a real piece that fits the team, like a rim protector, like one of those big guys. Instead, you want them to stand where they are
because they
and get Semi Ojeleye again.
They were a game away from the NBA Finals.
Explain that to me.
Their two best players.
And
so
what
all
did Ojeleye
have
to do?
They need to tweak a little bit more. That's
so
all.
You agree with the caller. You want another Semi Ojeleye.
I just want them to stand pat, yeah.
Well, what happened to you?
Because the team's good enough
but
as it is.
Murray, they're not giving anything up.
No, I'm okay.
Yeah, I'd rather have another Yabusele.
That's unbelievable.
I want another Yabusele. That's what I want.
You want them to hang on to Terry Rozier? Are you buying in on Terry Rozier?
No, if you can dupe some dumb team like Orlando into thinking he's better than he actually
is,
that's
not
going to happen.
This is what I'm talking about. Yeah. Why close the door? Why? You never get. You keep calling those dumb teams, and you see if finally someone picks up the phone and says, actually, we'll do it.
Just got to keep ringing.
Yeah, well, that's what we're doing today. We're going to keep ringing. We're going to keep calling.
So, you know, I was just thinking, like, who was the number 27 pick in the draft last year? Like, I bet if you looked at all the number 27 picks, they all suck. And you know who it was? Kyle Kuzma. So
was it really?
So that experiment went out the window.
Well, just go to 28 then. Max in the truck. Eric Decker been linked to the Patriots. You want him?
Hey, what's up, guys? Yeah, I want him. If Edelman's suspended for 4 games, I think he could, you know, hopefully step in there. His wife is a babe. Have you seen her? Oh my god, she is a babe.
So apparently she's she's a country music star or something.
Yeah, that is correct.
Like, so, fine. So you have that going for you, which is nice if you're on the internet. But in terms of, you know, on the field, he's not, maybe he lines up in the slot. He can line up in the slot, maybe. But he's a big, tall, outside receiver. He's going to work down the field, and he'll work over the middle. So I don't want to say that he'll never line up in the slot, but he's not that pure slot guy, like running, seven-yard option routes for Brady. Like, that's not what he is. He's more Amendola, more Hogan than he is, you know, Wes Welker or Julian Edelman. And I hate to just give you all the white receivers, but, you know, I'm just telling you, he's more of an outside guy.
So, look, I'd take a shot on Decker. I like the size factor that when you get into small spaces, the red zone, that you have another guy to throw to down there, because I don't trust Kenny Britt. I'm sorry. But Decker, I'll give it a shot.
Sean and Ayer, you want Dwight Howard?
Absolutely. How do you pass on a guy that averaged 16.5 and 12, who does three things well, right? He runs, he dunks the basketball, and he blocks shots. And you want to pass on him?
Yes.
Spaz has got to get off the Spaz stool and take a step back here.
Sean, he's a bum. He's a bum. And I could rattle off a million players for you in that league who put up good numbers. 16 points. I don't give a rat's ass about the 16 points.
How about the 12 boards?
So the defensive rebounding and the shot blocking I would, but he is a complete liability at the other end of the floor, I think. He shoots 55% from the line career.
You are obsessed with free throw shooting.
Because
man.
It's important in that you can't play him in the final minutes of a game.
Fine, don't play him.
Okay, so then why pick him up?
Because there's a lot of guys you don't play in the final minutes of a game.
He's a bum. No. But those guys... The guys you don't play in the final minutes of a game are usually good guys who work hard. And the other thing is, he was wrong when he says he does three things. He doesn't run. He doesn't run.
All you need to know is
he loafs.
The Hornets, who are desperate for any kind of relevancy and are trying to build around Kemba Walker, looked at him and said, after one season, yeah, we're good. Like, just get rid of him. Get him the hell out of here. And those 16 points are the best he's been offensively in the last couple of years. And they still looked at him and said, No, we're good. Get him the hell out of here.
Oh, God, he's a dog. I want nothing to do with him. Nothing to do with him. Zero.
We continue with your calls here on Felger and Maserati.
Felger and Maz. The Sports Hub. Felger and Maz.
I love it.
You were right, Maz.
I just keep loving it more and more.
Bore my listeners to death.
I finally feel alive.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
Sounds good.
And launch one into right field. Kepler's back. He's turning around. And that ball is out of here. A home run for Mookie Betts to the opposite field. Number 19, 2-0 Boston.
On their way to what? A 9-0 win?
9-2.
Sox win today in Minnesota. Let's give you a Red Sox minute. Another getaway day win. They've won the last game of every series this year, right?
No, not every one, but at one point it was something stupid, like 16-1. They've since lost a couple, but they're still pretty good. It's like, 18-3 or something like that in the series finale.
In the last game of a series, they're right, okay, so whatever that record is, it's through the roof. Does it tell you anything?
Well, I actually think it's a good sign.
Oh, I don't believe it.
So, and I'll tell you why.
That is rare.
Because
to actually give credence to something positive like that.
Well, typically, it tells you a couple of things. One, a lot of times on Sunday, and you see a lot of managers do it, they rest a lot of guys.
B-side.
Oh, big time.
Oh, my God. Francona used to do it all the time.
The Sunday afternoon game. It's a great time, typically, to give some of the regulars a day off. Because, end of a series, you got Monday off. Guys essentially get 2 days off by the time they show up for the next game. And so the Red Sox have won in spite of it. And you're getting, it feels like more midweek getaway day games on top of it. So I think it tells you two things. One, their depth. That even when they sit regulars, they have enough talent for the most part to be able to win those games. And their starting pitching, obviously, has been exceptional. And then two, they don't turn it off. I mean, they've had some series there where things haven't gone well, and they've had to, like today, and they have to avoid a series sweep, or others where they've won the first couple, and they still see it through. So, to me, that's a good sign. They're not losing focus on the last day of a series. So, I'd put a little bit of stock into that. Not a ton. I mean, I don't think it says you're going to win a World Series or anything like that, but it means you're playing all 162. That's good.
Okay, so... Another Red Sox item. Last night, David Price loses for the first time in a while, following sort of an interesting media availability session a couple days before. Gives up a leadoff home run, and it didn't pitch poorly, but lost. I can't remember what the final score was. He only gave up
4-1. Yeah,
he gave up 3 runs, and they go on to lose the ball game today. And if you're watching the simulcast on NBC Sports Boston, you'll see it here today. David Price is on the top step of the dugout for the world to see. And the way it was described to me, I didn't see it myself, but literally hanging over the railing there in the dugout with a what looks like a drill bit.
I think they're called a Theragun is what it is, or at least that's some derivative of what is a Theragun.
Huh?
It's a hand massager that looks like a power drill, essentially.
A hand massager.
Or a massager that looks like a power drill. You can use it wherever you want.
A hand massager. So... with a hand massager, again, for the world to see, and I've never seen anything like this.
Me neither. I've never seen that device ever.
Used for this purpose. I've seen devices like that.
Just trying to get the knots out.
Okay, so I've seen devices like that, never for that purpose, but he does it for the, he's got all day to massage the hand. He's got all morning to get treatment, all night to get treatment. But he comes out first inning or whenever this is, right, early in the ball game, for the world to see, and puts the motor massager to his hand.
The Theragun.
The Theragun. What's up with this?
So you got me. Look, anytime a guy does something like this out in public, he's sending some sort of message, isn't he?
Of course.
Just so, trying to catch rays, and I'm a little sore. Well, why are you going to read into it?
So what, just letting all you guys know that I'm trying to, you know, I'm working on my hand to keep it limber so that I have good circulation or whatever? Like what?
Everything with this guy is calculated. It's got to be something like that.
Or his hand is bothering him, and he wants you to know?
Could be that. I mean, again, you know, he gave up 3 runs in 6 innings last night. Not that that's a bad game.
Just a reminder, my hand's always numb.
The home run he gave up to Kepler that made the score 3-1, because at that point it's a 1-1 game. The Red Sox tied it for him, and it was in the bottom of the fourth inning. God, I hated that home run. He had a left-handed batter up there, and I hate the practice, and this gets a little technical, so just bear with me. But I hate the practice of a guy throwing a changeup to a hitter who bats from the same side. I know it's done all the time now, and it didn't used to be, but it's done. I hate it, because what happens is exactly what happened to Price last night. If you miss, you have now left a big, fat changeup at 86 miles an hour on the inner half of the plate for a guy to hit into the seats. So fine, whatever, he threw it, but that's, you know, it's a 1-1 game. The team hasn't been hitting all that great.
It's just getting too cute.
Exactly. Yeah, just a little too cute. How about a cut fastball away?
You're left on left, just blow them away.
Right, right. Pound, you know, fastball. You want to throw hard in, soft away. This is a general rule of thumb. Right, hard in, soft away. You don't have to reinvent the wheel. Command your pitches and do that, and you're going to be fine. So that part I hated. This thing today.
What are you doing, David?
I know. I feel like...
it feels so good. It tickles.
What are you doing? Dave, what are you doing?
He's sending some kind of message.
What are you doing? What are you trying to convey there? I don't know.
For all you haters who think my hand is numb, see, trying to work out the kinks.
Those Theraguns are the balls, by the way.
Yeah?
Yeah. I mean, I haven't worked on them in, like, where you probably think.
Dirt bags.
Could you actually put them on your
No, it's powerful. You basically working on your hamstrings, your IT band, that kind of thing, like 15, 20 minutes before you work out. Like, if you're going to go for a run or whatever, uh-huh. You run. You'd probably like the thing. But, yeah, I don't know if you'd want it near.
I don't like power tools.
I don't know if you want it near your Jimmy.
No, I don't want power tools near my near my person.
I don't want it near my Jimmy or my Hogan. The end of it is two-pronged. It's like a little wishbone at the end of it.
Yeah.
It's not like a drill.
I got it.
Yeah. It's got a little
shape for her pleasure.
Either way, it is right there. It's in our face for all of us to see. So, what are you doing? What are you doing? Another one of these things where I don't know exactly what you mean by it or what you are intending to say or do, but what is it? It's something. Because you don't just, I've never seen it, you know, watching baseball my whole life.
My hands can cramp up from 4 days.
I watch less now than I used to, but I'm still, I've never, have you ever seen that?
No, never, no. I'm just trying to work out some of the kinks, man.
Little tight from last night. That's why I gave up those 2 home runs.
Here's another thing that I want you to check on. I was on TV with Lou last night, and he tells me that Price is still playing Fortnite. That he just, because you can tell, and maybe you can correct me if I'm wrong, but... he just changed his handle. He used to be something like, I don't know.
On Twitter?
No, well, I guess you play as a character on Fortnite.
Oh, right. Yeah. So you have a handle, yeah.
A handle, an avatar, whatever. You call yourself something. And he used to be, whatever, I'm just making this up, Astro's Dad 14. And now he's Astro's Dad 24. And it's still the same group.
Hmm.
Like, for example, it's still all of his teammates. All those guys have stayed the same, and you know who those guys are. They just have a new player. And
who's at not David Price?
Right, exactly. So there's just a new player with a new handle with the same group that Price was playing in before.
Don't tell anyone.
He's still on the thing, this guy. Can't let it go. Can't give it up.
Hey, video game addiction is a real thing, according to the World Health Organization, now.
Okay.
Stupid world we live in.
So anyway, this is sort of a big game for the Sox, because it started to, the momentum here started to slip a little bit. They were 2 games behind the Yankees.
For the first time all year, they were 2 behind going into today.
Okay, 2 games overall. I think it's 4 in the loss column.
It is.
Yankees won today?
They 4-3. They won 4-3. They swept the Mariners.
Okay, so the Yankees.
Whom the Red Sox split with over the weekend.
Okay, very good. In Seattle, they were in New York here for the Yankees series, Matt.
Yes, and they swept them.
I'll add that because I know you won't. You wouldn't.
Right, and so we said the other day when we looked up the records against winning teams, the Yankees are now 14-5. Keep going.
Yankees are up by, I think it might be four in the loss column. You had lost four or five, I think, in the Globe, or Abraham, one of them said the first time a true slump all season long for the Red Sox. I think they were there. And they bust out today with nine runs and win, so sort of an important stopper kind of game for them today.
So, and again, look, no question about it, and Porcello picked him up, right? Because in the early part of that game, it was scoreless. It kind of in the middle innings, it looked like it was going to be another low-scoring pitcher's duel kind of game, and Porcello didn't blink, hung in there. And then, look, going into the early part of the game, Kyle Gibson, the starter for the Twins, went up and in and knocked down J.D. Martinez, who apparently has had good success against him. I didn't see the actual matchup numbers, but I saw a passing reference to that. And so in the bottom of the first, Escobar comes up, Edwin Escobar, who has had a good series. He's the one that had a couple of big hits the other night in the Sale game. And he gets up there, and Porcello drills him. I mean, goes up and in and hits him. And I like that. I do. I like it. Like, even if it, and Porcello's got a history of hitting guys, he's done it consistently since he's been here. They could use more of that on the staff, but I think Porcello, in a lot of ways, led the way. Then they broke the game open. They started scoring some runs. Betts hit one out. Benintendi hit one out. Moreland had a double. Bogarts had a double. Both of those to knock in runs. And so it is. It at least sends them back, you know, on the plane, back to Boston, feeling like, okay, 6-4 on the trip feels a hell of a lot better than 5-5.
And they keep pace with the Yankees, you know, stay yeah, where they tread
which is
water.
The biggest thing, really.
Right.
Yeah, and I'm sorry, I don't mean to jump on you. Yeah. But that's absolutely the biggest part. You can't get too many games behind. The Yankees are something like 41-13 in their last 54 games. Like, they're playing at an otherworldly rate. You know, they had a WAF last night. You know, they've had a half dozen walk-off wins this year as it is. Like, I don't think the Yankees are going to slow down. I don't. I just, they're loaded, man.
Okay. Meanwhile, David Price, what are you up to? And Jackie Bradley, has he gotten a hit in the last, well, like, every time?
I think it's 3-33 now on the trip.
And he keeps playing? He's still in there every day.
He is.
That's insane, Maz.
Ridiculous.
3-33 on the trip?
I think so. I don't know what he finished today. I'll see if I can find it. But I think going into today, he was 3-30.
He was 1-5 today.
Okay, he got a hit.
So that's 4-35 on the trip.
That averages up to a hot 181.
Oh, my God.
I'll double check it, but I think that's right. I think it's 4-35.
He's playing every single day. Go figure that. Okay, so any of these Red Sox items interest you, you can have at it. All the Celtic stuff on the board, Lottie lined up for that. We will continue with that conversation. You want to weigh in on the Patriots stuff as well. All of it with you right after Murray's update here, so don't go anywhere.
Oh, it feels so good. It tickles.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Every afternoon, Felger and Maz bring you the science of sports.
Stupid me.
On 98.5, The Sports Hub.
1-2. High fly, golf into right. That's deep. That one way into the corner, and she's gone. Kepler with his eighth home run of the season. A two-run shot here to make it 3-1.
That's all right. You know, just obviously the leadoff homer to start the game, and then the Kepler homer. You know, that was a tough one. You know, got runners on first and second with nobody out. Got a big double play ball, and just couldn't get that third out. So, and I've struggled this year. That's been the reason, and something I got to do better at.
And then, oh, it feels so good. It tickles.
Again, live audio of David Price reacting to his big home run that he gave up last night, and then exclusive audio of David Price massaging his hand today in the dugout with that electric sort of intruder device that he had. I don't know how else to say it. I
wonder if he's chasing his teammates around, too, in the dugout. Give it a go. Come on. Let me get... Feels so good.
What was he up to with that? How can he let us see that? There's a reason. All right, and meanwhile, Maz wants Dwight Howard with the Celtics. Here's Dan in Boston. Go, Dan.
Maz, I'm sorry. Your baseball takes are amazing, but your basketball takes are terrible.
So are yours.
You're totally on the line here. Absolutely. This guy's a joke. He quit on Kobe. He's not all that great. But guess what he can do? He's a three times better Shaquille O'Neal than when we got him, and Rasheed Wallace was a bum.
Exactly. Your phone's breaking up. So
first of all, your
you.
Phone sucks.
Exactly.
And the fact that you would even consider Dwight Howard for what the Celtics have built with their motion offense, their perimeter defense, and their three-point shot. Dwight Howard doesn't fit any of that criteria for what he's going to want. He's going to want to start, and he's going to want big dollars. You don't have that. You don't want that.
Are you getting choked up?
Yeah, what if he accepts a role? Yeah. What if he accepts a role?
He won't.
But let's say he does.
Well, let's say he won't, because he won't.
What about the coaching prowess of one Brad Stevens? I thought that he could do no wrong.
Brad?
Yeah.
Brad doesn't want him.
So look,
he had John Wooden back there drawing up the motion offense.
But he's right to go to Danny's history. Shaq, at that stage, what a dog he was. Rasheed Wallace, it's hard to find a worse guy than that.
Ricky Davis, the devil?
Actually, I just did. Ricky Davis. Didn't we have Jermaine O'Neal for
a time? Yeah, he
sucked.
Talk about
gentle Jermaine.
A dog's dog. Danny's not afraid of that.
Okay, but again, different teams at different points in time.
No. Shaq was brought into a championship team that was ready to win right there that time with Mbutu and all that crap, and Shaq took a steam and dump on it.
Right. A veteran team that could kind of coast during the regular season and then play in the playoffs. This team is young, hardworking for the most part, and the last thing you want is this bum who's never won a thing.
Cam and Taunton, your Celtics thought. Hi.
Mike, you missed the worst one of all. Danny Ainge drafted and then traded for Jeff Green.
Okay, not a bad guy, just a little on the soft side.
Right, I'm talking about in terms of competitiveness. I just want to say this. I don't know how you'd be able to match the money. Go figure that out on your own. But if the Grizzlies want you to take on Parsons' deal to get up to four, you should be willing to do it.
No.
Okay, Cam, why should they?
Because make sure you have to give up less to get up there. Instead of giving up Rozier, Morris, and picks, you give up Rozier, Morris, and one pick instead of multiple. And then that's a perfect contract filler for your big trade if you want to go after Davis or Towns to match money.
Still?
No. You do not want to take this contract. It's like 3 years at $28 million. You do not want a bad contract.
Okay, but might you need it for filler, as Cam said?
No, because the way that it breaks up is Horford's done, then Hayward's done. And then you can worry about the Supermax and the Max for Jaylen Brown and Tatum. It's lined up so that when you need to go get Anthony Davis and fill that cap, you have the ability to do that. Okay. Chandler Parsons. No.
Jimmy's a no. Mike in Foxborough, what do you got for me on the Patriots?
Stupid.
So what I would say is that you guys have been focusing on Kraft and Brady, but really I think it's Kraft and Belichick. If you think about it, the Patriots traded their backup quarterback, but they kept their backup coach in Josh McDaniels. And do you think that that Kraft has any regrets regarding Butler possibly costing him his sixth championship?
Well, I don't talk. To me, there's no question that Bill would be very aggravated by some of the things that have gone down from the ownership standpoint. But to me, that's just self-evident. But what's your point on that?
So my point is that that Kraft has already gone all in with Brady, and I think he would be willing to let Belichick go. And just regarding the Garoppolo trade, you know, which is it? Was Belichick a poor judge of talent and only getting a second round pick back, or
no.
Was he able to screw the franchise?
Okay, the second thing is a little strong, but you're closer to that. A little spiteful or expedient or really just not prioritizing getting the best return. I think he wanted to take care of the kid because he liked the kid. And that was his first priority, and the team getting something for it was second, and there you go. He also thought he was going to keep him until the very last. And when I say very last, until you got around the trade deadline, and he said, screw it, fine, you want me to trade him? Here you go, here's your second round pick. How's that taste? Something like that. It's not that he was a poor judge of talent. Bill wanted to go forward with Jimmy Garoppolo. We know that. What was his other point that I wanted to hit on?
Kraft and Bill?
Yeah. I had something specific for him. I can't remember. I'm curious. Oh. Would Kraft be willing, if Brady was serious, and Jimmy Murray has alluded to this, if Brady was serious about, Robert, get this guy out of here. He's killing us, meaning Belichick.
Mm-hmm.
Would Robert do it?
No.
And I say no. That's where Robert would draw the line. Because, again, Robert's also mindful of his legacy. And if he loses Bill in a internal sort of power struggle, and Bill goes somewhere else and wins, Kraft will never live it down, nor should he. Kraft is not going to let Belichick coach for another team, just like he's not going to let Brady play for another team. So that's that. They're going to have to wait it out. There's a standoff. They're going to have to wait each other out.
I told you, I wonder if they have some sort of wink-wink, nod-nod, or maybe if it's even a written arrangement that, you know, if Belichick leaves in a year, and he still has a year, at least a year left on his contract, that Kraft says to him, I'll pay you, you know, you'll get your money, but you can't go coach anywhere else. Like, to me, there's got to be some sort of agreement there between Bill and Robert that at the end of the day, they part ways and that's it for both of them.
Rusty's calling us from Los Angeles. What do you got, Rusty?
How you doing, guys? By the way, sports radio in L.A. is a wasteland. It's horrible. Thank God for the app. I listen to you guys. Maz, I got a little bone to pick with you based on some comments you made about Brady yesterday. As a sports writer and a writer in general,
sure,
you know that words have meaning. Listen, Brady's not a coward. A coward is a guy that beats his wife, molests children. Listen, he's a phony. You can use all the adjectives you want. You cross the line with coward. But anyway, I love the show. Thanks, guys.
Okay, Rusty, thanks. I don't even remember the reference.
So we were talking about when you put your kids out there as an excuse for, like, not going to things.
I see.
And I said that that's cowardly. And I might have actually called him a coward. I don't, a lot of times I think people hear it wrong, but he's right. That's what I said.
Okay.
And so,
well,
you know.
I mean, it might be a little strong, but I think it's bad form to put your kids out there as sort of a shield to whatever your true intentions are. Like, that's just sort of weak.
Yeah, I would just say if Brady wants a new contract, then he should do it the way he's always done it. Behind the scenes without making it some sort of public spectacle. And I don't know that that's even what's going on here. I think he's just using his power.
Today's aggravation with me and Brady is the fact that he's out there practicing and working out, just not with you. And are we able to run these pictures on this simulcast? Oh, we are. Okay, that's rare. They're very tight about what they put up there with approvals and everything, but we must have gotten it. Here's today at a location near Brady's home in the Boston area. That's Brady. That's Alex Guerrero sitting on like a cooler or something, and then someone with his back to us with a hoodie on, we have been told, is Julian Edelman. So Brady's not in pads there. The one you showed yesterday had him in pads?
No, I don't think so. No,
it did it? Just,
no.
So I said pads earlier, so maybe I was mistaken when I said Brady was in pads. But he's at a park working out with Edelman and Guerrero, and Maz got a picture yesterday from the same place, presumably, of Brady working out with Guerrero.
I mean, the background that I have from yesterday looks very similar, yeah.
Okay, and I assume that there's footballs there. I think that's the I think so. Anyway, my aggravation is that Brady's in town, he's getting up, he's working out, he's playing football, he's throwing passes, he's working with guys running patterns, he just won't do it with the team. He'll do it on his own. Which is sort of like, why can't you just get up and do this down in Foxborough? If it's about your family, like I would understand. Like if this picture was taken in Costa Rica on a family vacation, I'd say, all right, fine, he's true, he wants to spend more time with his family, so he took the family to Costa Rica or California or wherever. And, you know, he got the hell out of Dodge with his family, and he's having a workout wherever he's vacationing. So he's putting in family time, and he's putting in football time. At that point, I'd say, okay, that makes sense, and you're being true to your word, and it's about family, and you're working out with football, so great. That's actually a win. But doing it here? Like, so you'll get up, you'll spend all this time working out with football, you just won't do it with your teammates in Foxborough.
No, he'd do it with the teammates, but there's a certain someone there that he considers a buzzkill, and he doesn't want to have to be around him unless he has to.
He'll do it on his own schedule.
So like I said, that's just that's an aggravation. I'm not going to blast him to smithereens over it, but it's sort of like, yeah. So it's you have the time, and you're here. You just won't do it in Foxborough. You'll do it in Brookline.
I'd like to think that what Guerrero's doing there is he's going over a script with Julian Edelman, who's closest to him, just saying, repeat after me. I had nothing to do with this. I had nothing to do with this. One more time. I had nothing to do with this.
The secondary thing is the PED thing, and, you know, is Guerrero linked to Edelman, and, you know, are they going to separate Guerrero from Edelman, and is Edelman going to really let it be known where he got the substance and make sure that it wasn't Guerrero and make us sure that it's not, you know, were Guerrero or Edelman at odds over the failed test at all? This tells me that they're not, that they're on the same page, literally, here, Murray, as Guerrero goes over his paperwork with Edelman. So that's another sidelight right there. So there's that. Long commercial-free segment is next with you.
This is Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Boys and girls, I'm here today to present an exciting opportunity for togetherness.
Felger and Mass.
That's awesome.
Of course it is.
That's great.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
There'll be an 0-2 to Stanton. Swung on and driven to deep left center. That ball is high. It is far. It is gone. It's a game-winning bottom of the ninth. Two out. Walk-off home run by Giancarlo Stanton. Giancarlo. Non si può stoparlo. He hits a two-run blast. A Stantonian home run. And the Yankees have come all the way back 5-0 down for a 7-5 victory in one of the great games of the year. An 0-2, and Stanton hit a bullet into the visitors' bullpen in left center. And the Yankees have won the game 7-5. What a comeback. What a game. Well, we're going to keep it here for Susan to get her star.
So that was last night. The call from John Sterling. What's this thing with Susan and get her star? He continues with this, doesn't he?
For Stanton, his 18th home run. He has 42 RBIs. And I need the Susan card, please. Susan, are you waiting?
I've got sponsors to read. I need Susan's card.
Talking about the actual read.
So what happens is in the eighth inning, they send Waldman down to the dugout to get a post-game interview. And obviously, he didn't have the sponsorship read.
Susan's
so,
brought to you by...
Susan, where are you?
Gotcha. Star of the game. Got it.
Anyway.
And I need the Susan card, please.
But that Stanton home run is first.
Susan, are you waiting?
First walk-off as a Yankee. Was that the day he became a New York Yankee?
So thank you for saying that. Because, again, like one of the things that's irritating about New York and the media down there, and I think Michael Kay actually even said it on the TV broadcast on the home run, that Stanton had his quote-unquote signature moment. Okay? Why does every freaking new guy with the Yankees need a signature moment? Like, why? This was the day that Giancarlo Stanton officially became a Yankee. Like, shut up. Really. Put a sock in it and shut your pie hole.
I thought you'd be excited about it.
I hate that. I can't tell you how much I hate that. It's like, because all of a sudden it's, you see, you have now been elevated to a greater plane of being. Like, you are now officially a member of the Pinstripes. Like, put a sock in it already. You in your 27 World Series. We get it. We get it. It drives me bananas, that whole, you know, Yankee signature moment bullcrap. It only took him 3 months.
Well, don't look now. What's Stan, 18-42? He's on pace for 40-100.
Yes.
Basically, you know.
What about the signature moment on opening day?
Speaking of which, Vinny, we do have exclusive audio of Maz reacting to the Giancarlo Stanton game-winning home run last night. Or was it the 2 on opening day?
It was the 2 on opening day.
Either way,
day.
This is why I'm surprised, Maz, given your reaction on opening day. And again, if you're seeing this, this happened at our TD Garden studio. I still, every time I see that, I want to take David Price's vibrator and take it to my temple.
It was his first swing as a member of the Yankees, and he hit an absolute freaking two iron into the right center field stands. It was a laser, for crying out loud. So look, all I'm telling you is the guy's starting to get hot a little bit. I mean, a big home run last night. They win the game. The Sanchez home run might have actually been a bigger hit. They were down 5-3. Sanchez hits a home run to tie the game 5-5. And then Stanton wins it. But in a lot of ways, no pressure on Stanton. You just go to the next inning. Even so, he gets the walk-off. They win. And you're right. It's 18 home runs. Now Judge hit his 19th today. And he's starting to hit a little bit. And I know it's, you know, hardly anything to brag about, but he's crept into the mid-250s. I think it's 400 over the last week or something like that. And I just think that there are so many guys in that lineup that can hurt you that they're scary. The Yankees are just absolutely scary. Again, today, Judge hits a two-run homer. Stanton got robbed of one in the game at Yankee Stadium. Like, they're a wagon, man. They are loaded.
Okay, Mass is getting excited again. Devin and Quincy on the Sox. Go ahead, Devin.
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Good.
I know this might be an unpopular decision, but, you know, we obviously need a bat out in the outfield in the lower half of the offense. Why not grab a guy like Melky Cabrera that's a year removed from batting .280 on a decent offense and, you know, keep JBJ on the bench for defensive purposes at the end of the game?
Where is Melky Cabrera?
I think he's a free agent, isn't he?
He's just sitting there on the street?
I'll double check. I might be wrong. I haven't followed him.
Yep,
but
currently a free agent.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I think he's out there. So, like, that kind of pickup, I'm in favor of that. Like, anything, you don't have minor league talent, so you might as well go get a guy like that, and it isn't going to cost you anything.
Post-PED guy, you know.
So what?
Well, generally speaking, they aren't very good after they get busted for PEDs.
Okay,
they stop taking them.
Okay, but I'll even for batting average, I'll take him. As long as he doesn't make outs the way this guy does. Bradley's an automatic out.
Oh, he's unbelievable right now. Wally in Fall River, your thoughts.
Yeah, what's up, Tony? A few comments I'd like to make. You look at this road trip. We started off gangbusters, 4-0. We had to sweat it out. Not sweat it out, but still, we could have gone 5-5. We ended up 6-4. But we can't fall five or six games behind the Yankees. They got 8 guys in that lineup with 10 home runs. Their 8-9 hitters are on the pace for 20, the 2 rookies. But it's going to be interesting to see what Dombrowski does towards the deadline. I mean, either, you know, everyone's saying he can't do much because he's handcuffed. We don't have much to trade. He can't go over the limit, but luxury tax limit. But you think our window's open right now? I mean,
of course. I'm sorry. Well, I'm going to cut you off. The window's open, but literally, they have nothing in Pawtucket. They have nothing in their system, and they don't want to go over the tax. How could they possibly do anything?
They can't. And look, I say anything. We were discussing this last night. They'll make a move. They may make multiple moves. The question is, what kind of moves are they going to be able to make given what they have? So Kelvin Herrera just got dealt. He's gone. Kansas City to Washington, maybe the best reliever available on the trade market. He required a certain amount of minor league talent to go get him, at least from the national standpoint. The Red Sox couldn't match that. And if the price went up, if there was some escalation there involving the Astros, forget it. The Red Sox are out. They can't keep up. And if you want to take on a guy with money to be able to get access to another guy with talent, right? You take on a contract, maybe you get another player with it, and there you go. They can't do that either. So now, could they package together a couple of A-ball guys? Sure. Yeah. And you'll end up with a journeyman reliever who might be able to help out your bullpen a little bit. And so, and that's fine. Don't get me wrong. You'll take anything you can get. But to me, they should be in the market. Given what they've invested in this team, they should be in the market for a big piece, and they don't have the artillery to get it.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.